So we talked about Kedushin Bekarka, basically just to finish up Shabbat Kesef point, and then started talking about Das Bekedushin, which we're in the middle of. But I just want to add a Hosafa to the Kedushin Bekarka point. Actually, I saw something interesting to say for Primosha, and the truth is, it also kind of joins the two sugyas even more. So if we could just take a step back and go back for a second to Kedushin Bekarka. So if you recall yesterday, so we noted that there was a machlokas Rishonim as to whether or not the idea of Shavu Kesef Kekesef is absolute and therefore would include real estate also. We say that since you can give anything of value for Kesef Kedushin, so maybe you should be able to give land too. In fact, you would think by default that you should be. Land is very valuable. Land is effective in all kinds of other contexts. Land, if you're learning Daf Yomi, land is what is used for paying back the Zikin. So land is certainly very much the source of many people's wealth, and definitely Shabbat Kesef, definitely used for transactions. So why not? So indeed, why not? So we mentioned that the Ran quotes a view, which he doesn't contribute, but it's the view of the Baba Itter, that maybe we should say because of the Drasha, because the Gemara later on derives the idea of Shtar for Kiddushin from a Drasha from Get, from the Hekish, Makish Havaya Litzia, that just like when it comes to divorce, so you have a Shtar, so too, on the way in, you should also have a shtar, and that's the shtar kedushin. And the Ran disagreed, and the Ran said that no, that's limited to a kedushe shtar. Doesn't have to tell us more about anything else. So then we discussed a little bit in and out. What does that say about the relationship of the kinyan to each other? Why should it be limited? What would the ramifications be? If there was a possibility of Kedushin Bekarka, etc., etc. But the Primosha is just worth noting. So the Primosha considers the question from another angle, which we should spend a minute thinking about. Is there a reason conceptually to say that Kedushin Bekarka should be no good? The position of the Baal HaEter that it isn't good, which he derives technically from the Hekesh, he expands the Hekesh here as well. So is there a reason in Svara to say that Kedushin Bekarka should be no good? So what do you think about that? Can you think of any possible conceptual explanations why Karka should be lacking? Again, Karka clearly has value. I mean, Karka clearly is something that has a lot of value and that in other cases is used for transactions. So what should be the problem for Kedushin purposes? Why shouldn't it be? So let's assume yes. And you want to bring in the later discussion we're going to have where, for example, rings with diamonds in them, that maybe we should be concerned about that. So let's assume that's not an issue. And even though it's true that there are certain inherent variables about land that are different than anything else, so it's an interesting point to bring up, and that affects, for example, why Ongah doesn't apply the same way, and mispricing doesn't apply the same way. So it's an interesting question to bring up, and the truth is, I think it's more in the category of like the Kovach Shir and Svekas you mentioned yesterday, that if we assume we can have Kedushin Bekarka, then we'll have to deal with, should we worry about assessment that can be a little confusing. But let's assume that's not the issue. Tamir's up first, and then no?
Maybe you think that the
Kedushin
Sheet has to be able to have or show that certain ones attached to something she can move, take with her, Bekarka.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, definitely you're onto something, but I don't know if it's it, because the truth is she has this more securely perhaps than anything else. No one can come in the middle of the night and steal it. And also, we don't know that that's necessarily true. We mentioned yesterday that the Rambam had the concept that Hanah has to last, and to exclude Matana Manasa Hasir. But we don't really have a requirement that she be able to hold on to whatever it is with the cast of condition. Otherwise, people with wedding rings would be in trouble. You know, I was discussing in Shul and Shabbos a fascinating shayla, which I'll discuss in more detail probably later in the year, because it impact so many different Kedushin issues, but there was apparently a case that somebody told me about, and I saw Rav Asher Weiss discusses it in his tshuva, in his tshuvas, of a chassan who went through the process of Kedushin, and then they discovered the next night that actually they didn't actually successfully do Kedushin. Why not? Why did you find that out? Because he was so nervous about not having the ring inside of Kedushin and got a normal life for his, that he asked his sister to help him hold on to the ring, and he made her so nervous that she got a little off balance, and she put the ring on her finger so that she'd hold on to it. And then when it came time to actually do the Kedushin, so she took off the wrong ring. She gave her brother her ring, and he used her ring for the Kedushin. So apparently it's a problem. It's not using his own ring. Right? We know he always asks the chassan if you use your own ring. And they discovered, to make this better, they discovered this Friday night, the Shabbat Baruch. So the whole question, could you fix it then? You can't do Kedushin on Shabbos. So God willing, we'll find the time to go into some of the ins and outs of that question, which is very interesting. But Rav Asher Weiss, in discussing the Shiloh, so he talks about, can we say that she gave it to him as a gift? A ring, which she gave it to her brother to own, and then somehow that could work. So according to what you're saying, the problem, she gives away her wedding ring, that would create other problems. So thank you for that excuse to bring in that very interesting case. All the other details, which impact on other studies in addition, that I wouldn't want to come back to. So again, the implications of that would be more than we're really ready to subscribe to. Now,
so my thought was kind of that the karka in itself isn't something that can, like, when you sell it, it's not given over because it's immovable.
Okay.
And so I guess if you were to do a transaction with karka, you'd need some. So I guess you'd need like a shtar in order to facilitate it. Mm-hmm. So like in order to do that, you're already removing the karka one step, I guess, by giving it. If you give a shtar to somebody else, so wouldn't really you be giving karka at that point? You'd be giving a shtar, even if it's a shtar raya, about the karka, you're not really giving the karka.
Okay, so the promotion says along the lines of what you're saying, without the part about the shtar, but he thought that the issue is that the nature of karka being that it's not movable, so there isn't really any way for the husband to do his part. That the nature of the ma'aseh kedushin, he assumes, has to be that you have to do something. The husband has to give the kala something. Now, this addresses a few points, because yesterday we mentioned also that there's a question as to what is the source by get. What is the reason that a get is no good with land? And there were two possibilities. One possibility is that a get has to be a sefer, so it has to have enough in common with a sefer is movable. Or maybe it's a davar hanitan miyad miyad. He's got to put the get in her hand, so it's got to be something he can do that with. So if you assume that that's the real nature of the issue, and that somehow that concept is transferable to Kedushin, that maybe that's the problem. And the promotion discusses, and there's a safek in Achronim, if somebody puts the ring on the ground, again, looking for at least romantic ways to get married, so if somebody puts the ring on the ground and tells the kala, pick up the ring and acquire it, and become married that way, really a great start to the whole domestic life. So she says, pick it up yourself, and then, you know, then they immediately go pick up the get. So if that's the way you try to do the Kedushin, so it's a suffix in Achronim whether that works or not. And he suggests that the nature of the Kinyan Kedushin is it has to be her doing something and her receiving. And he goes on to suggest, based on Arias, that even if she's doing half the work, if they're doing the work together, he's doing half the work and she's doing half the work, that's also no good. And he discusses in this context that yesterday we also brought up the question of to say that it has to be something physical, to go to your point also, something physical that stays with her. So we know that's not really true from Gemaras, because we have Gemaras that make it clear that Hana could be enough. So if she asks him to perform in front of him or something, perform in front of her or something like that, That could also be significant for Kedushin. So there, that's good, because at least he's doing the maisa, so that's his giving her something. But for her to do the maisa, she has to now be zocha to the land, and there isn't really much that he's going to do now. So that is a chisaron in the maisa kedushin, which is supposed to be him giving her something. So the kitzur, he could do an act of service instead, but still that's considered him giving something. But if the whole burden is on her, that she's got to do it again, aside from all non-romantic implications. But it also goes to the question of whether that is the tzura of kedushin, and maybe that's the issue. So maybe that's the svara of why the Baal Heter has a problem with it, in addition to the fact that there is a connection from get that can be derived. Now this is an important point, and I'll just take it here comes a second, and make sure you're the first to know it. But what this also highlights is, now, he has to discuss, but we know that Isha does do something, right? She has to be Kona because of Kedushin. She has to play her part, which is really our Sukhya now, of Das. So there, it's Mechalik, okay, that's a natural part of every transaction that the recipient has to receive. And the fact that she's doing that much, so that's not a problem for what we're saying here. But when she takes over his role, that he's actually doing the transferring, and now she's doing the transferring, so then that becomes a problem. And Karka inherently has that problem, and maybe that's the issue. Is that a diet?
Does this idea connect with the obligation we saw by Shofar?
I was thinking about it a little bit. Yeah, if you really, I think the desire to connect it comes more from an affection for synergy than for actual real connection. That if you're going to be the one to say it, then for sure I'll sign on to it. So we were discussing the other day, that Sunday I guess, that the Abinezer says the mitzvah of shofar really is in the hearing, but blowing with shofar has significance also, because every mitzvah has to have an action. So it sounds like it has overlapping terminology, but I don't know if it's really the same, but again, synergy has its own value to it, so we'll take it. But the idea that the chassan basically has to do something, that the nature of the kingdom is that he is doing something, that's what it means. So even if that something can take many different forms, it still has to be him doing it on her behalf. And to reverse that role, and maybe even to share that role, maybe that's a problem.
And so in that case, it also wouldn't connect to the rub. We talked about the mice and the kingdom, but it also wouldn't be connected to that kind of.
You know, as much as I love synergy, that one gets harder, but, you know, again, you get credit for even trying to synergize. No,
couldn't you say that there's like a, when if the man puts the castle on the ground, that there's like kind of like a grubba maisa that he's doing, that like,
yeah,
he's still putting it down, and so when she's picking it up, yeah, she does have some sort of like proactive relationship, but he also is doing a maisa. It just happens to be that there's kind of like a little bit of a hefsing.
So you're the premotion's friend today, because you're being mechavin to all his points. So he does end with that point, because he says, okay, so what I just said is to explain the problem with both karka and tzli kiddushech nela karka, pick up a karka, the condition from the floor. But what about the fact that we mentioned the suffix in the achronim, so some achronim say it's okay. So then he suggests on the lines of what you're saying, that yeah, they're okay, maybe that is the least he's doing that much. But the karka, even though mentally he's transferring the property, but it's not fully fulfilling the need for him to perform the kinyan, and maybe that's the problem. So, again, this is just an interesting supplement to the whole Kedushin Mekarki issue, but also it directly connects it back now into our sugya of what is the role of each party as far as the process of Kedushin and Das. Morty.
I mentioned accepting
the
land, meaning one is a natural consequence.
Yeah, by definition, he's always going to have some role in the process, because you can't have this kinyan happening without a cooperation. So the fact that she's doing that much, we're not going to say that's going to compromise his need to be performing the kinyan. But when it goes beyond that, and especially if there isn't anything left for him to do, so then that becomes a real question.
Why is transferring land beyond that?
Because he doesn't do anything to give her the karka, he just walks away. No, it's not like he picks it up and hands it to her.
Doesn't he have to say, I don't want it?
Yeah, that's not an action. No, Yeah, it's got to be something that's going to, that's the assumption, that there isn't anything there for him to do. And she takes hold of the karka, and there are various ways in which to do that, and then that puts everything on her. And again, putting all the burden on her is not a good way to start a marriage. Okay, so now to get back into the Das B'Kedushin issue. So we saw yesterday that our Gemara tells us that it can't be Bal Karcha, has to be Midaita, and that phrasing, and again, here, this is an area which I just want to prepare you for this, that we talked about yesterday being precise in terminology. So this is an area where terminology is going to get very blurry, and the question of whether we can really pin down exactly what a word is supposed to mean, and why it should mean one thing rather than the other, is going to be a major linchpin in some of the issues here. But on our Gemara, Beis and Beis, Midaita is held up as the opposite of Balkarcha. So Balkarcha is against her will, without consent. So apparently Midaita at least means the opposite of that, with consent, with her cooperation. So on that level, we discussed how, first of all, there is a stira in Rashi's, according to Masaris Hashas, that the source broader than this is, on the one hand, the Gemara later on in Amdalit, where the Gemara talks about Das Machna. So clearly she has to have Das, because how could you have no Das Machna? And the Rashba over here in our Gemara also asks, why would I even think you could have such a thing? Because you can't have a Kenyan without Das Machna. So clearly you need it. And the Gemara in Yevamos, Rashi in Yevamos, has more than that. That the halcha, the haisa, the halcha l'ishacher, the halcha l'haisa, rather, that that midaita mashma. So we noted that one question is, why do we need two sources? But that the two sources also represent different concepts. That when it comes to das machne, that is essentially seeing kedushin as a kinyan like any other kinyan. So whatever rules there are for a kinyan are going to apply to Kedusha, and the only reason we have an issue with Bal Karcha is because how could you have a kinyan without Das Machna? While Rashi Nivamis is focused on a limud that is specific to Kedusha, saying that whatever the case is when it comes to kinyanim, doesn't matter. When it comes to Kedusha Isha, it has a unique requirement for Das Aisha, and it doesn't matter whether or not we draw a parallel to kinyanim. And then we saw the Sugya Bava Basra, which I'm going to open up here again now, that this is where in the future I guess we'll use the computer, but the Sugya Bava Basra, which basically seems to see Kedusha Isha directly within the context of Kinyanim, because the Gemara talks about Tulu V'Zavin, if you are compelled to sell something, whether or not the sale is valid. And then the Gemara throws in Kedusha Isha together with that and talks about it from both sides. And it just says that if the Isha is forced to accept Kedusha, so then we don't allow that to stand, we are mafkia the Kedusha, because it's improper behavior. Now it's very interesting to be aware of, just in terms of mechanics here, is the Tosfos, the Shal Tosfos Kaddish Pabia. Right, so this is on the list, right? So what does the Tosfos say? It's not so long, we'll put it together. So it says Tosfos table of Rashba, it's not the same Rashba. The Kaddish Bibiya below Hafka Lola Heavy Kedushin. That the Gemara asks the question about Bia and says that we can change the Bia through our magic rabbinic powers into Bilaz Nus. So it says Tosfos, well, I don't care what you do to it, it's still not gonna be a Kedushin, because it doesn't fit into what we're talking about here. That we're talking about Tzlu B'Zavin, so there's some focus on the fact that there's a transaction, that you're going to sell the land, for example, and you'll get money in return. But Bia, there's no two sides. So what is going to give us the impression that she goes along with it? I think this is an important question, because the only reason why Tzlu B'Zavin works is because, since you're getting paid, so we assume once you get paid, you decide to complete the transaction. But if you're forced to give a gift to somebody and there's no payment, we say it's no good. It there's nothing to hold on to make it seem like there is a actual agreement there. So Kedushin B, Kedushin Bia, isn't that the same thing? Kedushin Bia, so what's she getting out of it? That she's going to, we're going to say, all right, this was something that was agreed to in the end. And Tosfos says, don't assume that she enjoys the Bia and that's it. Dochek lo ma lefi sheyesh la hanas Bia. That's not going to be an acceptable answer. By the way, otherwise you have to assume that the compulsion here is not on the Bia itself, but on the idea that the Bia should be Kedusha. Otherwise, it's hard to imagine how you could even talk about there being Hanas Bia. But presumably the Bia was Baratzon, but the idea that that should be considered Kedusha was against the will. So Tosus considers that maybe the Bia, almost considers that maybe the Bia is why it's mutual, but says, no, that's not something that sounds reasonable. So Dochek, well, that doesn't sound likely. That there, a Neymar statement that forcing him to be the Kaddish sure works. Lo heavy, Ella the Kaddish be Kesef over Bia. So at best, we'll say it's Kesef and Bia. If we're going to go with that. Well, Mishtar, well, then we're still going to leave out Shtar. Because, again, the heavy commodes Lu Vioi, because there isn't anything there that should suggest any kind of mutual agreement. So maybe you should say that the mutuality comes that she is makne and she gets sustenance, she gets the support of Sherek Sus Viona. So the Achal Gav, the Parif Le'el, Gabi Get, Locha, she's bringing Mashabal Nifter with Sherek Sus Viona. Right? That we don't really consider that to be value earlier because we talk about forcing the husband to divorce. Now we don't say, well, he gets paid for that because he is exempt from these payments, so it doesn't seem to be that this is a value that we're factoring in. So you could say, well, Hani Mili Gabi Baal Shay Nosu Birotsan, Bulahoya Magarsha. That's true on his side. He'd rather just support her and not divorce her. But the other way around, that she's getting support, maybe that is considered to be value, and that's interesting. So this whole Tosis is important just as far as understanding the mechanics. But it also highlights, kind of deepens the whole sense from the Gemara of Avasra that the issue is basically it's all Kinyanim and we're following Kinyanim and we got to figure out how to plug that in. And there's nothing here that is unique about Kedushin.
I thought we said that the human sarks of Ona are sewer based.
Correct.
So that, if that's true, then how can that be that a person is doing Kedushin based off those responsibilities?
Okay, so that's very good, but that's an opportunity to chazer the point that we said about that, I think last week, that you're right, that's an initial kasha, and when the Gemara in Ksubis, you mentioned it, that the Gemara says that if somebody is Makadi Shanisha, Almanas, Shainli, Sherek Susiona, so the question is raised, is that not a problem of Masna, Mashakasa, Batara? So the question we mentioned, I think of Asher Weiss, who talks about this, that the question is hard to understand. Because, like you said, all that comes with Nisuin, so why should that affect whether the Kedushin is valid? So what you see from there is that really it's all one process. That the Kedushin is what's going to lead to her having all of these benefits. They just don't take effect until there is a Nisuin. But it's all an outgrowth of the initial Kedushin. So it seems so here also that the, at least according to this Tosfos, this is not even the Gemara, but according to this Tosfos, that maybe you should say that the ultimate payment of the Sherek Sus Ona that's on its way is enough reason to agree with the deal. And the truth is, you're right, that it's better if the other side, the Tosfos makes reference to an idea, it's also really from the Rishonim that he's quoting, that maybe that's, so to speak, payment for the get, the fact that the husband is exempt from that, so that would happen automatically with the get. This doesn't happen so automatically here. But your point still is worth factoring in here, because yes, ultimately that's going to be an outgrowth of the Kedushin, but the Maisa, what if it never gets that far? So to say that this Kedushin, because of this trade-off, which may conceptually, conceivably never happen, does seem to be a little bit of a flaw in this approach. You know, unless you say that she's expecting it to happen, so therefore that's enough reason for her to commit. But it's an interesting point to consider. Now, all of this, again, is all feeding into this idea that essentially what's going on here is there is a Kenyan process, and all we need to know to assess the questions of Kiddushin are Hilchos Kinyan. And that there isn't really anything here that is an outgrowth specifically of anything unique to Kiddushin. So with that, we'll have to see if that's the only way to see things, or whether it's even the only way to see the positions of the various Gemaras. And maybe the Gemaras don't fully agree with each other, which is something we'll have to also consider. But we just have a few minutes left, so just to set this up. So how does this influence the other side of the equation? So let's say if the husband is compelled to marry a woman. So does that work or does that not work? Yeah, it works. Who says it works? Oh, right. You can never go wrong with machlokas. Okay, yes. You want to comment? Sorry?
I'll just say what you said.
We'll say machlokas?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can never, go wrong with machlokas. Right, so anybody want to fill in a little more details about the machlokas? Jonah, you got the whiteboard with you?
No, I'm telling your face.
All right, so what does it say on the whiteboard?
It says that the Rambam.
Okay, so the Rashba quotes the Bala Ezer, right? So the Rambam, which I think we saw yesterday, I forgot if we finished, got this far in the sentence, but we began to read this Rambam together yesterday. Rambam in Yishuv Stal Aleph, where the Rambam mentions that the Isha cannot be married against her will, right? Any Isha is Kadesh Elul Sora, Makadish Yishuv Akarat Emin Kadeshas, Avala Ish, Shan Su, Ad Shekidesh Balkarat Al Harei Zu, Kudeshes. And so there, apparently, you can do it. And the Bala Iter is quoted by the Rashba, who says, no, that it's not going to work. And the Rashba, he likes the Rambam. So again, we only have a minute for this, but just to get the table set, and we'll continue it tomorrow. So what are they fighting about? What's the machlokas about? What's it about overtly? What's it about implicitly? Let's try to get some ideas out here. What exactly is going on between the Rash Barambam and the Bala Yitzur? Hi.
Possibly the machlokas is a larger realm of how the Kenyan works.
Okay.
And that the Rambam feels that the Kenyan is that both parties are active. One is giving over, the Mountain is giving over, and then the Monet is acquiring. And therefore, it doesn't bother me whether it's telling you the Zabin or telling you the Kani, because in both cases they're active. So you can learn one from one to the other very flexibly.
But the Rambam does split them. Because Rambam says that Anisha doesn't get married that way, but Anish does.
Right, but you could just say that it's off game when it really works.
Oh, okay. So then you want to say that, from the Rambam, that really it could work, but practically speaking, it doesn't, because the Afghan. Okay, that's an important detail.
Oh, sorry.
Because the truth is, we're not 100% sure that the Rambam actually follows that line of thinking. Because, one idea we'll have to explore a little bit tomorrow, what if there is a machlokes hasugyas about this? Now, what if Bava Batra is taking one perspective, that it's all about Kinyanim, and maybe our Gemara, maybe the Gemara Yavamos, that have drushas that are more Kiddushin related, maybe hold this a din in Kiddushin itself. And the Rambam's language, which is kind of more absolute when he talks about the Isha, so it's an interesting question. Is he coming from Bava Basra, or is he coming from... So, you bring up an important point. Does the Rambam really think that it could have worked, but it doesn't? Or does he think it doesn't work at all?
Right.
But okay. So you're saying that, therefore, basically he thinks that Sluhu always works in both directions,
yeah.
And therefore it should work for the husband also. So where's the Rashba coming from?
The Bala Yitzur.
The Bala Yitzur, right there. The Bala Yitzur that the Rashba quotes.
So the Bala Yitzur would come from the other side and say, no, that he holds that Kenyan is more like, let's say, a Ron-oriented approach to Kenyan,
mm-hmm.
which is the fact that there is a Konet who is taking the object, and the Machnet is just removing files. And therefore,
you're around in the Darim, you're talking
you're
about.
You're around in the Darim.
Right, okay.
Model. And what you'd say there is that the
Just parenthetically, just so everyone understands what you're saying. So first of all, so Jordan just referenced the round in the Dharma again, the round that said that by Kiddushin, so the Isha is essentially passive, right, and doesn't really do anything, she just has to not object. And therefore, maybe that's relevant here also, that there isn't much involved in Hakna, and therefore it could happen as well. The question is, though, which you're putting on the table now also, is that Ran in the Dharm working off a Kenyan logic? When the Ran says that that's how Kedushin works, is that because the Kenyanim work like that, or is that something else? That's also something we'll have to consider. Okay, now I'll try to interrupt you less.
No, it's okay. But we'd say in the case of Ones, it's more, let's say, likely that if you're just removing your vitals, that's less of a big deal. And therefore, you can be forced, you can be modest into, let's say, the das required for that, as opposed to Talibah Kani, where you're actually swooping in and taking the thing for yourself, possibly need a higher level of das, and therefore the Ones would be enough to issue at that level.
Okay, so basically, the key point is that the Bala Yitra thinks to purchase something requires a higher level of das than to sell something. Okay, so that detail is pretty much explicit, all the explanation we have to figure out. So let's maybe leave on that point, and we'll pick up on this tomorrow, that essentially that's what the Bala Yitra says, that there's no limud from one to the other, that Tzlul B'Zalvin is one thing, but Tzlul B'Kani does not follow. Right? It doesn't necessarily mean that just because one of the other works. So that suggests there's something more chamer, or there's something more demanding about selling something than there is about buying it. And the Rashba says explicitly, no, he thinks the other way around. It's a Kal v'chomer, that if you can sell something under duress, you can buy it under duress also, and that they're for sure related. In fact, one is more pashut than the other. So we have to discuss tomorrow a very important question about what exactly is going on in this debate. And also just to emphasize the point made a minute ago, that the Rashba agrees with the Rambam, but maybe he's saying something different than the Rambam, right? Maybe the Rashba is saying a svara in Kinyanim, and maybe the Rambam doesn't only come from Kinyanim, maybe the Rambam is coming from something inherent to Isha also, even if they say practically the same stuff. Okay, so God willing, we'll pick up from that tomorrow, and hopefully complete the sukkah, and it should be exciting. All right, to wish everyone.